lady, if he won't stop, hit him on head with shoe. No cure if the knee bug bites. Forget Disney. Come see Tom's knees. Oh, to be a mid-20th century motorist, tooling through Florida, urged on by those roadside ciphers scribbled against the sky in hand-cut wooden letters nailed to dead trees. They all led to a literal backwater about 50 miles east of Fort Myers on the headwaters of Fish-Eating Creek in, blink and you'll miss it, Palmdale. There, the late Tom Gaskins had come from Arcadia to settle, well, some said squat, during the Great Depression and carve out his idiosyncratic empire. It contained a home, a factory, a swamp tour, and an entire museum dedicated to cypress knees, those gnarly growths that poke up from around the base of the wetland trees. For 5 decades, Tom Gaskins' Cypress Knee Museum housed the world's largest, and only, collection of the tree's knobby growths. Once upon a time, this was my very favorite roadside attraction, a stranger-than-fiction place so gloriously, freakily Florida, it was almost too good to be true. A Tom Gaskins story was a rite of passage for any journalist peering into the state's swampy soul. Tampa Bay Times' Jeff Klinkenberg, Bob Morris of the Orlando Sentinel, NPR's Jay Allison, and myriad others wrapped their prose around Tom and his self-made world. And the wonder of the thing is that they were able to do so mostly without repeating themselves. With subject matter like this, though, that was easy. There was more than enough to go around, starting with its founder, a self-described crazy Florida cracker entrepreneur who prowled the swamp barefoot, hunting knees to harvest. He sold most of them, but the best ones made it into his museum, an open-air rectangular donut enclosing a pond where a live cypress towered over the roof. Murals of the swamp cover the walls, cases of knees line the walkways burnished to a golden gleam, though many visitors might not have realized that Gaskins' personal manufacturing process, for which he'd obtained U.S. patent number 2,069,580 in 1937, included the use of his tongue. Once he'd cut a knee and stripped off its bark, he'd lick it clean, lingually worrying off any clinging fiber as a mama cat would groom a kitten. Like clouds, their shapes were open to interpretation, so Gaskins labeled them according to what he saw. Bona Lisa, the brother of Mona Lisa, Lady in an evening gown dancing with a two-headed monster from another world, and Lady Hippopotamus wearing a Carmen Miranda hat. He displayed knees resembling dancers' calves, knees that looked like dogs, bears, or anteaters. There were court jester-shaped knees, and knees in which Gaskins saw the faces of Joseph Stalin and FDR, both of whom he despised. He was an ardent anti-government libertarian before anyone was using that word. To advertise his creations, Gaskins hammered up his handmade signs throughout South Central Florida on byways and backroads where landowners weren't likely to complain. They're long gone now, but behind the scrub oaks and dog fennel, the old rock-and-block building is still there, only half-heartedly boarded up. After Gaskins died in 1998, the state bought the building and property as part of the Preservation 2000 land program managed by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. Since then, there's been talk on and off of cleaning it up and reopening it. Earlier this year, Glades County paid the state $300 in return for an 18-month lease on the place, which remains weed-snarled and empty. I'd first come across it when I was single and childless at the beginning of the last decade of the 20th century, and I'd been drawn back at least once a year after that. I took my parents and northern visitors to see it, and I took my firstborn there when he was still a toddler in a backpack, a few years before Tom died. So when Roger, Nash, and I were out that way the other day exploring, I couldn't resist stopping at the old place with my men. We bushwhacked our way around, then stepped inside. The cases, still floored with green sand, stood smudged and empty, some bashed in. The cypress tree still pushed up from the interior pond, but the old murals were gone, covered with a kind of abstract graffiti you see on train cars and under bridges, huge stylized letter forms in lurid red and orange. The odd cartoon monstrosity, a few foul words. We crunched over the broken glass, stepped over stained rags and crumpled beer cans, looking for any trace of what the place once was before heading back outside. And there it was, in plastic letters falling off curling plywood. It was an inscription Tom had put up the year he'd opened the museum, one I'd dutifully transcribed on one of my first visits. Most of the words were gone now, and the ones that remained were askew, but we could pick out a few. Quote, a selfish reactionary without any help ever from any city, county, something, something, government. Yeah, that sounded just like old Tom. I could almost hear him reading them, arms crossed, sleeves rolled up, a cocky half-grin on his sun-cured face. So when we got back, I looked at the whole thing and found it as fitting an epitaph for Tom Gaskins and his world as the concrete block carcass of his museum, now moldering on government soil. He wrote, the Cypress Knee industry was started by, and this museum was built by, a selfish reactionary without any help ever from any city, county, state, or federal government. No RFC, NOLC, FHA, WPA, WBSOC, no price top, no price bottom, no subsidy, no labor union protection. What you see can never be duplicated. Souvenirs of a time before civilization covered the United States.